This is Mile High.
Do I want to tell the story or do I want to show the message?
You've got a lot of work to do between Mile High.
The time has come where we can know.
We have a responsibility, an ethical and moral responsibility.
We have to do it better in order to move people along.
Up, down, inside out.
If you get your mind right,
it is not. It is a receiver of thought.
Because love is my first technique.
It's now time for the show.
Welcome to the Mile High Podcast. This is your host, Dr. Daniel Knowles. I'm excited to be on this episode with you. I'm hailing from an altitude of 5,280 feet in Mile High territory, and we look forward to you joining us in Mile High territory in August 2020 vision year. And it's August 20th to 23rd. If you have not reserved your seats, get on it. Do it now. We look forward to seeing you there. www.milehighchiroregistration.com. And today I am super thrilled to have this wonderful soul and heart centered chiropractor as our guest. Dr. Cynthia Schaff-Toll is a second generation chiropractor. And she's the leader of the Women Doctors of Chiropractic organization. And she's just an incredibly passionate member of our profession. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Cynthia.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I'm really excited to talk to you and get the message out about women chiropractors and the awesome work that's happening inside that group.
Well, and we're excited to have you on, and we're excited about everything that you're doing with your group. We're glad to have the world know more about it. What I'd like to know first, or ask first, is have people get to know you more. Now, you're a second-generation chiropractor. You have 22 chiropractors in your family, which is amazing, but that's not everything about you. Tell us about how you found the calling to be a chiropractor.
That's a really great question. I'll go back to my dad's because I really started at 2 months old seeing a chiropractor. But my father had narcolepsy. He was a World War II veteran, Purple Heart recipient. And of course, they didn't know how to deal with issues in those days, post-traumatic stress disorder. He had narcolepsy so severe, he would fall asleep standing up. And my father went everywhere. And we live in Michigan. And so he went to the University of Michigan and they told him he had to learn to live with it. Now, learning to live with this was awful because he would fall asleep standing up. Any point, he lost jobs, everything. And so finally, on the way home from the University of Michigan, he decided, he was driving home and he saw a car behind him. And the next thing he knew, he woke up with his head looking at mailboxes. He had no idea he was going to fall asleep. That was a shock that created his whole path towards chiropractic. And he said, I'm going to go see that chiropractor down the street that my sister-in-law told me about. And so he took himself off to Dr. Carolyn Rehm, who was a 1920 Palmer, old PSC graduate. And she took care of him in her second story office on a really crude adjusting table. And after a short period of time, my father had no more narcolepsy at all.
Wow.
And didn't for the rest of his life, nothing. And so he said, when I was born, he said, you know, my daughter has unexplained febrile seizures and she also has converging strabismus. One eye was turning into her head. Do you adjust babies? And she said, yes, absolutely. Bring her in. So she adjusted me and guess what happened? No more febrile seizures. My eyes straightened out. Never had to have glasses except for now in this decade of my life, but I beat everybody else by about another decade. So, you know, I've lived through my life with actually better than normal eyesight. And so that was a huge blessing. So my father said to Dr. Rehm, can you make money at this? And she said, yeah, you could make $10,000 a year. Now this is in the 1950s. And so my dad said, well, because he just wanted to do it, even if he couldn't make money, this was life changing. And so he took his brother, my uncle, Walter Elwartowski, and said to him, hey, Walt, you're just out of the service. You've got the GI Bill. What are you doing with the rest of your life? And my uncle said, I don't know. And my dad goes, you want to make $10,000 a year? He was trying to get him to come along, and he did. So off we all went to Palmer. My mom and dad, my mom ran a boarding house, and I grew up with all these Palmer students. This is when BJ's still alive, right? And all this stuff, they're all excited about it. My dad started chiropractic college at 33 years old, I think. And so I always grew up with it. And chiropractic was magic, you know, in our life. I knew as a small child, when I got adjusted, I would feel instantly better. And I knew that if I was crabby, my dad would say, Cindy, come over here and get an adjustment. You're crabby. And I would fight and say, right? You know, the same thing. And as soon as he would adjust me, I'd feel better. And so I knew the power of chiropractic. So when my dad graduated from chiropractic college, most chiropractors were struggling a lot. And I come back to the story with women chiropractors, how this really impacted my life. So there was nothing at this time except a few consulting agencies, not much. But the chiropractors would come out of school and eventually they would just flop because they had no idea how to run a business, really run a practice or anything. So he went to Parker. Someone told him about Parker, and he went there, and Parker started to tell them about business. But the biggest principle about this whole thing was he told my dad and all these others is they gave him a brown briefcase. And he said, you guys need to all grab those. And
the brown baggers.
Brown baggers once a week. So you know what? He was a doer, not just a talker. He was a doer. And so he did. And my entire childhood was spent with this, and they just, the group of chiropractors that got together were people who planted chiropractic colleges. You know, I was at Sherman when it opened up. I was at, you know, for things, I was there for life. All those schools, all these exciting things, all these really big events that were happening, I got to be part of that part of history, you know? So anyway, so I always wanted to be a chiropractor. In fact, the students in the boarding house decided it would be fun to teach them my first word, which was chiropractic. And it really was. So that's why I was called to it. There was nothing. My brother and sister became chiropractors. Everybody in my family was. It was just a snowball. It was just, that was life, right? That's what we did. And so I saw just such an amazing change, huge amounts of people coming in. You know, my first job was working my dad's office because we had a home office at first. And what was funny was at 6 years old, my job was cleaning the ashtrays. Now, it was a big deal in the 60s when my dad realized that that's just a bad thing to have smoking, right? So they got rid of that. But we ended up, you know, so we went on from there, and then I worked on, I was a CA at 12, and then, you know, you just worked in the office and you saw miracles, right? So that's how I got from there to there. And I graduated at 22, the youngest in my class. There you go.
Wow. That's just so amazing. And as a fellow chiropractic family member, I love hearing about all of that. What was your, just so I can, for the podcast, for the audience, what were your parents' names?
Ray and Mary Elwert.
Okay.
So that was their names. A lot of old timers know them.
Great. Great. Yeah.
Yes.
And so before I ask you some other questions I was planning to ask, listening to you makes me wonder something, because I have my own turmoils or struggles with the state of chiropractic politics and state of chiropractic education relative to the principle, right? So what's your feelings about where chiropractic is now?
That's a really good question, because I've, you know, it's funny to be one of the old timers now,
right?
So the people in their 80s hug me now when they see me and they say, it's nice to see someone from the old days. I'm like, I'm not that old, but I love them to pieces, you know? So. My view of the whole thing is, I am a person who tries to do something about it. There's a lot of things that I'm not happy about, but my life's work is towards making it better. Let's put it that way. There's a lot of things that makes me very sad. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, the 60s in chiropractic was really, the early 60s was not the best time in chiropractic either. So, but I saw the rise of chiropractic and some real power, you know, so you'd know the names of the people.
Right.
Found colleges, you know, so
right,
yeah, national leaders and everything else. And so what a great I that was a privilege for me to grow up with that.
And I'll tell you, in my opinion, I like you, till the day I'm not around, I'm gonna do everything I can to get chiropractic more closer to the principal. And, you know, when I think about it and I see it, I feel like right now there is a renaissance towards the principal. There was a little bit of a darkness towards that that came out in the end of the 90s and early of the 2000s. And I think we're in a renaissance towards its values of healing is coming around. So I'm holding on to that. And that being said, I'm feeling that part of that is why you started Women Chiropractors. You wanted to be a force for good and wanted to make things better. Tell us a little bit about why you started Women Chiropractors.
Well, that was the point of it. So I met my husband then at DE. There you go. We got married, I got married at 18, had my son Jeremy at 19, who's now a chiropractor. Started chiropractic college at 19. I had finished all my undergrad by that time. And then I had a daughter halfway through school. And I thought, I'm going to get out of school. And I'm just going to the whole world is going to set on fire for me as a woman chiropractor. We're going to do this amazing stuff with both of us. We came out and found out my life was very different. Because one thing you didn't talk about is I do have 7 children. That does change life drastically for the
right.
Childbearing, pregnancy, and all that stuff. I was talking to Jeannie Ohm. She had 6. And Devin Vrana, who's doing the big idea, she's got 5. So I guess all of us with big families can do great things, and there's many other, but it definitely changes your trajectory of life and what you do. It affects it very differently. So there was a lot of things in the culture that it was all male chiropractors that were creating, and there were just some new women chiropractors coming out at the time, besides Dr. Rehm, who I don't remember because she passed away before I came of any age to remember her. But so there really wasn't a great culture for women chiropractors, just like I saw. And so I found myself divorced from my husband of 29 years. He decided he wanted to do something different with his life. And so I had to take over in Michigan, who was already in a depression before the recession of 2007 and 2006. And I was left with nothing, except I had a practice that was seeing maybe 25 patients at the most per week, and 6 figures of debt, and 7 grieving children, and I was grieving, and I had to figure out how to do this. And I just said to myself, you know what? This is ridiculous. I have seen how chiropractic can thrive and survive, and so you know what? I decided, I'm like, all right, that's it. We're going to do that. I remembered that time, what happened, the genesis of the really big movement in chiropractic. And I remember that same thing. Go meet with others, right? So I met with some women chiropractors, Amanda Applebaum and Dr. Susan Blasky, both of them. And I have 2 cousins, Donna Kraft and Nancy Elwartowski Cooper. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Nancy. And we started talking about this and started meeting together, and they gave me some strategies as a female doctor, how to succeed as a female doctor. And of course, you know, there's a lot of women who don't have children, so it's a different world than women who do have children. It's a different strategy, you know, for that. Or you have to have additional strategies. So I'm sure, you know, being a woman chiropractor married to a male chiropractor, I knew how to do that. But alone was a totally different deal. And so I knew once I was able to get on my feet going and start to pass all the records my ex-husband and I did together, even though I saw chiropractors around me going out of business, I just said, all right, I know there's other women that are suffering just like me. It was a calling. It literally felt like I have a hand on my back from God, honestly, that just said, you've got to do this. And so I went to the Michigan Association of Chiropractors and talked to them about this, and they kindly gave me a spot to speak on. When I was doing research for this talk at the MAC, I looked on the internet at that time. I think I was teaching in 2009 or no, 11. But before that, I was looking at any article on women chiropractors on the internet. There were 2 articles total on it. two. There was nothing. And so I had bought the URLs to womenchiropractors.org just to make it a pure thing so that, you know, it did its purpose. And that is to help all women chiropractors become successful in what matter that they define. Okay. So what that means is my success may be different than someone who wants to see 1,000 patient visits a week. You know, I'm a mom, you know, I'm in a different point in my life. I'm happy doing what I'm doing. If someone is happy and they love to just go in and work part-time and they have kids, or if they had to stop because there was health issues or whatever. But our goal is to help create a culture, because women chiropractors were failing miserably. And I really found out firsthand at when I taught at the MAC how bad they were doing. And I knew it. I had talked to women through the years, but it was sort of something that, you know, was never really talked about, because women as a percentage in the profession were very small. So it didn't make a difference. So these women contacted me, half of them contacted me in the next 2 years. Every time I taught, they just kept, and it wasn't like me giving them my email address and saying, hey, how you doing? No. They were calling me, texting me, asking me questions, you know, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And where do you wear in the office? And are you getting injured adjusting? And what happens if this and that? So all these questions were forming, and it was Dr. Nancy Cooper. She spoke with me on the next one, and it was just like a landslide of women interested. So then at that point in time, she said, you know what? You need to start a Women Chiropractors Facebook group. So for me, guess what? I started a Facebook page because I didn't know the difference. And so then we started a Facebook group with a new graduate, Kelly Milano, who knew she's younger and she knew this stuff. So anyway, so what I wanted to tell all of you guys who've been in it for a while, I am in my sixth decade now. And you know what? I learned social media, and so can you. So we did that, and now we have over 8,100 verified women chiropractors and women chiropractic students. That's all. No, we don't allow anybody else in. And the reason we set the rules up for this was I knew that we just did not have this culture. And then if you're a female chiropractor and you're sitting next to maybe someone's sister or massage therapist or whatever else, they wouldn't divulge some of the things they needed to ask questions for. And so that's it. So really, inside of the group is lots of case studies. You know, Kate, what would you do about a patient who's got this? Or sexual harassment. We just got one today. So I got interviewed by, you know, someone that was harassing me. What am I supposed to do? We get some answered in school, but it's hard to answer all those real life things. And so the stats on the group are enormous. We have had, last year, we had about 320,000 interactions where people actually did actual actions in just the free group alone. And then we have an Instagram group, and we have a lot of people on that one. Oh my gosh. And then we have a website that is extremely active. And then we have a virtual academy where the women can come in and learn learning tools where other women have posted things like adaptative adjusting. So mm-hmm. You know how to adjust and not injure yourself, and, you know, just different things like that that are specific to us. So we have different levels. Like we have platinum level for the women who are really, you know, they've just hit it big time and they just really want to thrive. And so we've created that for them. And then we have our pro membership. And then again, reentry. So I guess I gave you a lot of information really quick, but my passion, of course, you know.
Well, I love it. And I really am, people know that, or have heard and noticed and reported themselves that, you know, at Mile High, we always really are making sure that women chiropractors are well represented. And a big part of that for me is because, you know, my mom's a chiropractor, and she, you know, and just seeing her go through school was part of my impetus to be a chiropractor and inspiration. And so I feel a very big heart connection to female chiropractors, and I know they're a very important part of the profession. Often, sadly, well, maybe in a different generation or 10 or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, not necessarily highlighted as well as they needed to be and need to be today. And I'm glad to see that changing. And also seeing enrollment is such a high percentage of female chiropractors. I know when even when I was in school, which is obviously many years after my mom, you know, the enrollment at Sherman was very few female chiropractors. When I was in school there. So it's good to see that also shift as well. I'm very, very happy to see that and thrilled to see that shift in the profession. So I'm glad you've created this resource for women chiropractors as well. So that being important, you mentioned something, which is that it's different because as a female chiropractor, you may have children and different roles than we see in the male world as a chiropractor. What are some, it's not necessarily harder, it's just different. They have to have different strategies. What are some things to that could help female chiropractors when they're having one new baby on the way or afterwards, or like you said, five, Devin Varna, who I love, you know?
Yeah, I think it all goes back to the basic thing that that I was telling you earlier is meet with women chiropractors who are local. And one of the things that the medical establishment has over us is that, you know, they culturally assimilate in local areas. Okay.
Right.
So they have a culture, right? So they meet at a hospital together, they go on rounds and they pick up things, bad or good things, but they do pick them up by being together. And once we get out of school, we could be a lone ranger forever. We may never run into another chiropractor in our life.
Right.
So
I
highly recommend for them is to, number one, get at least on a women chiropractors free group, because that's just a great resource of amazing information. Number two, and you can ask questions. Number two is, find local women in your area, women docs, and get to know them. And so if you are pregnant, for example, I was married to DC, so taking time off wasn't my problem as much, right? So, but like my cousin, Dr. Nancy, she had girlfriends in the area that were chiropractors and they met for a long time. Then she found someone that she got along really well. So then they both practiced two different types of chiropractic. But when it was time for either one of them to take off, they just had each other's back. That's a really great resource to do so that you're not just trying to carry the whole clinic yourself or have to close it down. I always get this question from people that say, well, why do you have to have a women chiropractors organization? Why is it different than men? And I say, let me ask you this question, Doc. So when you got out of school, how long was it before you could take 6 weeks off of school in a row? And of course, you know, they just kind of get the aha, of course, right? Because when a female chiropractor gets out of school, it's the time she's going to have children or, you know, sometime within 5 years of school. So we have to be prepared for this. If we want 50% of the women chiropractors, 50% of our chiropractors coming out of school are female. And I want them to thrive and survive, don't you? I don't want them to take off time, feel uncomfortable about going back into practice because maybe they feel like they lost their edge or they don't know where to go or what to do or they had a bad associateship. So we created a resource that is free in women chiropractors called Reentry. And Reentry, Reentry is sort of like it's my heart and really has become the board's heart as well. And that's for women who've been out of practice for whatever reason, if it's health or childbearing, or some of them, you know, they're married, their spouse is an executive and they move them all over, or their spouse is in the military or whoever, they're moving all over. And now it's time for them to start a practice or figure out what to do. And they're really lost. And so we're helping fill the holes in. So we've graduated two really successful classes and now we're in our third currently right now. And if anybody would like to apply for that, also go to womenchiropractors.org org, and you will find resources for that as well. And we're happy to answer your questions. The classes last from January until June, and we graduate you on International Women Chiropractors Day, which is June 5th. There you go.
Awesome. Wonderful. And let me ask this. I'm very grateful that you shared the URL. The name of the Facebook group is?
Women Chiropractors Free Group.
Free group. Okay. So I want people also to look that up. We'll put this in the podcast notes so people will have it. So if you're driving, you don't have to cause any subluxations. We'll have it in the notes. Okay. So you can get it there. But also, we've talked before about the reentry program. So I'm very glad that you mentioned that. What other resources might you point someone in direction of while we're on this?
Right. So we have a virtual academy as well. And so, you know, we've gotten a lot of support of a bunch of sponsors, including you helped us with a, you know, with 100 Who Care, and, you know, all those things have been really helpful. We have, so the virtual academy, like I said, are the videos, and that's also free to anybody that joins at any level at womenchiropractors.org. So you join at any level, you get all these amazing like resources of different levels of wherever you're, whether you're a student, whether you're a new doc, whether you're established, or whether you're just like having the most amazing practice in the world, we have resources for you. And that is the virtual academy. So like I said, anybody can join womenchiropractors.org. You just have to join. And then we have different paying levels that underwrites some of the expenses with it. May 1 to 3, we're having our convention in Clearwater Beach, Florida. Yes, and it's going to be absolutely incredible. The last one was amazing. And so it was very unusual because there never was one before. Whoops, what happened? Are we still here, Dr. Dan?
I'm here.
Okay. Something happened. Great. Okay. So that was, sorry about that. Yeah, the Women Chiropractors Convention in Clearwater Beach.
I heard wonderful things about it last year.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I hope Rochelle gets to go because it was
that'd
just,
be great.
Oh, my gosh. We gave away an x-ray machine. So that was pretty fun. But it was just, it was really unusual. And one of the things that if you're a male doc, you don't quite understand is the feeling of walking through your own seminar, getting your own CEs, and someone says to you, they ignore you and they talk to your husband, or they just ignore you. And so it was nice for a change not to even have to deal with that. It just sort of took a little bit of pressure off of us to not have to deal with that. And it was just, it was really a cool, just really an amazing, amazing connection. Yeah, it's great.
Well, I will say this, we have something else in common other than chiropractic, which is our favorite quote. You never know how far reaching something you say, think, or do today will affect millions tomorrow. That's been my favorite for years. So I'm glad to hear that we share that. I think it's many chiropractors' favorite. And thinking about that, I just get chills thinking about the impact you're having on generations of chiropractors, and especially female chiropractors, women chiropractors. What's your vision for what this will accomplish?
So the vision is so that the women chiropractors thrive so much that they push chiropractic past where it's at now. I felt like if I didn't do something, the profession was going to struggle, or if someone didn't do something, right? So now we have a whole team, not just me. But if we didn't do something, we would struggle. Mm-hmm. And the statistics were terrible at that time for women chiropractors. And I do believe that we're changing that. And that's the vision, that we want the women to actually help us get past where we're at in chiropractic, that it puts a new voice and a new vision forward and a new way for the world to see us as chiropractors.
Thank you. Outstanding. Any last message that, you know, if you've got an audience here, female chiropractors that are going to hear this over, what one thing do you want to share with them?
That's a really good question. I tell you what, get involved. Don't be afraid. Don't be isolated. Don't be afraid that someone is going to compete with you. I think women are collaborators and we're connectors. And they say, you know, anything you give to a woman multiplies. And really, that's the truth of it all. I'd love to see you all connect with each other physically, connect with us virtually, and reach out to the planet with the wonders of chiropractic care.
And I've got to say, really, if you're listening to this, check out the convention. Check out their event. Who are some of the people speaking at it?
Oh, so you know what's fascinating about our convention is we're not looking just for people who were, like everybody knows, right? We're looking for a little bit different stuff. Dr. Lona Cook is speaking. We have, Dawn Galbraith from Foot Levelers giving the keynote. There's a bunch of them. If you look on womenchiropractors.org, there's a ton of
great,
them.
Great.
But you know what I forgot to talk about, I'm sorry, real quick, is
go for it.
Regional pop-ups, and the regional pop-ups are an amazing way for you to connect in your community and get some credit hours. And we also provide lunch. So again, we've gotten a lot of sponsorship dollars, and so that's what we're doing. We're giving it all back to you, and we're giving a chance for women chiropractors to learn how to speak at a platform. There's a lot of hidden talent there, and so that's what we've done. We've had three so far. And what's fun is we've uncovered some new speaking talent. And so it's just amazing to see that. And that's one of the things we're trying to get more women on platforms. And then, like I said, the wonderful feeling of all these women getting together locally is now we want to gather together and we're going to learn from each other. And that collaboration is what's going to change the world.
I think it's so vital for chiropractors to connect with each other. I think that's one of the things that people, I know it's one of the things people love about Mile High, is they feel like they're getting to connect with fellow chiropractic teams, and they love the community and family. And I think chiropractors as a whole, whoever their tribe is, they need that, because we're just such a different breed and we have such a different experience than a lot of our, you know, the other people in our communities that may have different values. And so that anytime chiropractors get together, I think great things happen, you know, and I thrive on it too. So I really want to encourage people, get to their event. May 1st, 3rd? Is that what you said?
May 1 to 3, yes.
May absolutely. 1 to 3.
On the beach.
Well, what more could you want, right? So I definitely look it up and join their group. And of course, we look forward to seeing all of you at Mile High in August 20th to 23rd. And if you enjoy these podcasts, you know, hit subscribe. You never want to miss any Mile High tick. So make sure you stay in the loop and hit subscribe, whether you're listening to this on iTunes or Stitcher or whatever it might be. And Dr. Cynthia, thank you so much for all you are doing for chiropractors and the public and women chiropractors around the world. We really appreciate what you're giving and for your values towards our principles.
Thank you. Our board works tirelessly for this. It's not just me. The board works like you can't even imagine, and we are so thankful to do it. So
thank you
for having me. Thank you.